Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now in our final podcast in the second parak of Masechet Nazir and Daf Tetvav Amud Aleph. And continuing on again with the embedded Nazirut, one depending upon the birth of a child and one up to the person himself. Hareini Nazir L'Chshieli Ben V'Nazir Me'a Yom. So now he took a Nazirut contingent upon having a son and a separate Nazirut of 100 days. And of course the son wasn't born yet, so he began doing the Nazirut of Me'ayom. Nolad lo ben ad shivim lo efsid klum. If the son is born anytime before the 70th day of his own Nazirut, he loses nothing. Because let's say that after 60 days the son was born, so he kept 60 days of his own Nazirut, he stops, he now does 30 day for the son, which means that there's been a total of 90 days. He does the tiglachat, brings the korbanot, and now he has another 40 days to be mashlim. He hasn't lost anything. Le'achar shivim soter shivim. The wording is a little bit awkward. We have to explain that if a son is born any time after the 70 days, then it cuts back to 70. Meaning, let's say that after 80 days the son was born, he now does 30 days for the son. That's now 110 days. At which point he does a tiglachat, and there's 20 days left on his original Nazirut, but that's not good, so that's not enough, so he has to do a full 30, which means he's lost back to 70, as it were. She'ein tiglachat pachot mishloshim yom. And the reason for that is what we've seen already, that you need at least 30 days of hair growth in order to have proper tiglachat. Now, just to clarify the wording, soter shivim, what it means is that once he started his own Nazirut, up until 70 days, if the son is born at any point, there's really no loss in any of this. It's just simply an additional 30 that moves into the middle, at which point when he completes that, he does tiglachat, and then he resumes where he left off. However, once he hits day 70, he knows that every day that he continues the Nazirut from 70 on to completing it at 100 is a day that potentially will be lost unless the child isn't born until after the 100. Okay, Amar Rav. Rav makes the following statement. Yom Shivim Ole Lachan Ulachan. The 70th day counts for both Naziriyot, which means that if the child is born on day 70, then effectively he's had 70 days of Nazirut, which means he only owes 30. That day 70 is also day number 1 of the second Nazirut, which means now it's going to be day 99 when he's completed 30 for that Nazirut. And then he picks up and he's going to do another 30 days, which means really he only does 129, not 130. That's Rav. Now let's see if that works. Tanan. Nolad lo ad shivim lo efsid klum. Our Mishnah said that if the child is born before day 70, he loses nothing. But according to you, that accounts for both, itagur mitgar. It's not true that he hasn't lost anything, he's actually gained. If the son is born on the 70th day, he actually gains a day because they get to count for both. Ella bedin hudlo litni ad shivim. The truth is, the text shouldn't have said ad shivim. In other words, the text really should have said differently, which is that if the child is born any time before the 70th day, he gains a day, because otherwise, let's say the child wasn't born until after 4 months. So he would keep 100 days, and then he would stop, and then he would do another 30, and he'd have a full 130. This way, if the child is born before day 70, he only has to do 129. But the reason that it was stated that way, at provisionally, this is our defense, is it because the Sefer had to say if the child was born after day 70, he loses back to 70. Therefore, it said if he was born before 70, he doesn't lose. Truth is, he actually gains a day. Now, that is a defense, but let's see if Rav can stand up to the second half of the Mishnah. Toshma mi Sefer, nolad achar shivim, soter shivim. If the child is born after 70, which means day 71, he loses back to 70. But according to what you said, that's not true because that day should count for both, which means that he has, that he will now end up also doing 130 if the child was born on day number 71. Aval, my achar, achar, achar. So they say, what does achar shivim mean? It means not day 71, but day 72. Meaning after the entire 70 plus the next day is gone. Aval achar mamash mai, but what if it's really the day 71? Hachinam de lo satar, then it doesn't cut, there's no loss of days. So Yachim, I hear you, Tanir Lara Chivim Life Seed Klum. So then why did the Mishnah and the Reisha say that if he's born before day 70, he loses nothing. It could have even said if he's born after day 70, he loses nothing. So, it must mean that our Mishnah really means, when it says after 70, it really means after, as in day 71. And indeed, Rav is going to have to face the Mishnah as being opposite him, Shmamina, which means that Rav's position, that the 70th day counts for both, in other words, that we're going to say Miktzat Hayom Kechulo on both ends of the Nazirut, so that when he has Nazirut and he's on day 70 and his child is born, he is considered to have completed 70 days and only has 30 left. He also is considered to have completed one day for his son at that point. That does not comport with our Mishnah. So the question is now, whose opinion is Rav relying on? For Rav Kaman Amar L'Shmate, who is Rav relying on? Ilei Makaba Shaul. The first suggestion, which is an obvious one, is to go to the most familiar area of halacha where Miktzat Hayom Kechulo is employed, and that is in Avelut. This is a piece that we did at the end of Moed Katan, towards the end of Moed Katan. Abba Shaul's opinion as follows. Now, keep in mind that although there are many specific delineations within Shiva, several within Shiva, we generally view the breakdown of Avelut as Shiva and Shloshim. And it's called Gezerat Shiva and Gezerat Shloshim. And the rules are different. Clearly, Shiva is much more intense. Avelut. Remember also that a regel that comes along in the middle of any period of Avelut, of the Shiva or Shloshim, cancels it out. It doesn't suspend it, it cancels it. So therefore, the following happened. Not Hakovert, Meto Shloshimim, Koron Lo Regel. Position of Tanakama is that if you buried someone 3 days before the Regel, you had to have at least 3 days worth of quote-unquote Shiva, and then the Regel comes and cancels it out. Shmoni Yomim Koron Lo Regel, if you had 8 days before the Regel, then Shloshim's up. Why? Because you had the full Shiva of Shiva, and then another day of non-Shiva, of Shloshim, and then the Regel can cancel Shloshim. Umutar the Sapera of a Regel, Vimosipera of a Regel, Asur the Sapera Char Regel. Parenthetically, and this is not our issue, but the point is that you're allowed to shave before the Regel, and if you did not shave before the Regel, then you are not allowed to shave after the Regel. That's an issue that we dealt with in Moed Katan. What we're concerned with is the next statement. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says that even if you did not take the haircut before the Regel, you can do so after the Regel. Why? And here we go. Just like the Regel comes along and cancels out Shiva, kach mitzvat Shiva mevatel gzerat shloshim. Similarly, if you kept Shiva fully, then that cancels out Shloshim. What does that mean? It's because the seventh day counts for both. In other words, his point is that if the Regel comes at the end of 7 days, then that means that the morning of the seventh day was the end of Shiva, and then the rest of the seventh day was now the first day of Shloshim, which means you are Mekayim, part of Avelut Shloshim or Gzerat Shloshim, and then the Regel comes and cancels it out. By the way, the issue of taking a haircut or not is that by taking a haircut, you demonstrate that you're out of Shiva, and by doing so, you've activated Shloshim, as it were. Abba Shaul says you don't need to do that because the day itself, the partial day, is considered a day. So we see that there is an opinion of Abba Shaul that says Miktzat Hayom Kechulo can be held on both sides of the day. In other words, that the part of the day that you kept Shiva counts for a full day of Shiva, and the latter part of the day when you kept Shloshim counts for a day of Shloshim, and then the Regel comes and cancels it. Which would then work with saying that part of a day is one Nazirut, and after the child was born, that the other part of the day counts for the other Nazirut, you can have Miktzat Hayom Kechulo on both sides of the day. Alright, however, will that work? Dilmad kan lo kamar Abba Shaul el ba velut Shiva derabbanan. Maybe he only says that about Shiva and Shloshim, which are derabbanan. Aval ben Nazir d'oraita lo. Maybe he wouldn't say that about something where there's an obligation d'oraita, like in a Zirut. So Abba Shaul will just not be good enough for what we need. El Rav d'amar k'Rabbi Yossi. Rav must be relying on the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now, let's just one little hakdama here. Is that a person who is tameh in such a way that they can't participate in korbanot, obviously, but whose tum'ah is going to be lifted on the at the end of the 14th of Nisan, can be included in a Korban Pesach, and then they may partake of it that night. So, for instance, if somebody's tameh tumat sheretz on the 14th in the morning, they're going to go to the mikveh in the afternoon, but they won't be tahor to participate in kodshim until that night. They can be included in a chavura and have the dam be nizrak for them during the afternoon, and then they can participate in the korban, and they are now yotzei korban Pesach. Now, a woman who sees dam in her irregular time, in the yemei ziva, if she has one re'iyah, then she is what's called shemeret yom keneged yom. She then needs to keep a day of tahara, go to the mikveh during that day, and that night she's already tahara. If she sees 2 days in a row, then she has to keep another day of tahara, shomeret yom keneged yom, that's the third day, goes to the mikveh, and that night she's tahara. If she sees 3 days in a row, then she's already a zava gedola, we'll deal with her at the end of the perek, and a zava gedola has to wait shiva nekim, etc., etc. Now, here's the problem. Rabbi Yosef says as follows, Tan Rabbi Yosef Omer, shomeret yom keneged yom, let's say there's a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Let's say she saw Dam on the 13th of Nisan. Now on the 14th of Nisan, she's keeping a day of Tahara so she can participate in the Korban Pesach that night. And now, so they did the Shechita of the Pesach and Zrikat HaDam, let's say at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And let's say at 4 o'clock she had another Re'iyah. Harezu Eina Ochelet. She obviously can't eat the Korban Pesach. She's Tamei until the next day. But she's exempt from Pesach Sheni because she's Yotzei the Korban. Why is she Yotzei the Korban? Let's see. My Tamar Rabbi Yossi, La Mishum Lekasav Mikzat Yom Kechulo. Isn't it because he holds Mikzat Yom Kechulo? And therefore, since she had part of the day of the 14th as a day of Tahara, a day where she didn't have any Re'iyah, therefore that is considered Kechulo, and therefore she is, as it were, completed, entered Pesach b'tahara. In other words, we do not now connect the second Teriyah to the first. And as a result of that, she's Yotzei the Pesach, and she's part of Pesach Sheni. She can't eat, because in matter of fact, she has a new tumah here. Isn't that his reason? And this is, of course, of Doraita. Maybe Rabbi Yossi has a different opinion. And that is simply that when you have tumah, that links together several re'iyot that link together to create a tumah, that the tumah is only mikana lahaba. In other words, it doesn't link back. So when she has a re'iyah, let's say on a Tuesday, so she's tumeah until Wednesday when she does shimur. If she has another re'iyah on Wednesday, it's only from that re'iyah on onward she's metame, but not retroactively, which means that during the time of the shechita and the zrika, she was tahara, and that's why she's yotzei. Which according to most Rishonim now is separate from the issue of Mikzat Yom Kechulo. Tosfos has a different direction. Umisav Rabbi Yossi Hachi, since when does Rabbi Yossi maintain that there is no retroactive Tuma? Vatan Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyot, Sheshachtu Vazarko Alav Ashvi, a Zav who only had two Re'iyot. Remember, a Zav who had two Re'iyot is not Chayiv Korban, which means the minute that on his seventh day he goes to the mikveh and the sun goes down, he's Tahor, he's fine, and he can eat Korban Pesach. So if it's on his seventh day, and they did the Shechita and the Zrika for him. Or, V'chein Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, Sheshachtu V'zarku Aleha. Again, our case of a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. V'charkach Ra'u, and subsequent to the Shechita and Zrika, they had another Re'iyah. So the Zav saw Re'iyah number 3, which means, by the way, now he's going to have to keep Shiva Nakim and then bring a Korban. But either way, he's scotched out of the Pesach. And the woman saw another Re'iyah, which means she can't eat at least until the next night. She's also scotched out of eating the Pesach. Alpha Bishim Etam and Mishkav Moshav Namafreya, even though the Tuma of a Zav and a Zava, which is Tumat Mishkav Moshav, which means anything that they sat on, if they reclined on, even underneath, is Tamei. Even though that's the case, Lemafreya, which means kicking back to their original Re'iyah, anything that they sat, I had contact, that kind of contact with, is Tamei. Turin Min Asot Pesach Sheni. They're part of Pesach Sheni. Why are they part of Pesach Sheni? My Lemafreya. Midrabanan. So the answer must be that Rabbi Yossi, and this is a defense now, that Rabbi Yossi maintains that this Tuma Lamafreya, this retroactive Tuma, is Drabanan. You can't say that once she sees a later Re'iyah, that now now the Tuma that she had is Do'oraita Lamafreya, because if that's the case, then that means Do'oraita, she was Tamei the whole time, and that means that the Shechita and the Zrika of the Pesach, during that intervening time that we thought she was Tahor, is nothing, and therefore she'd have to do Pesach Sheni. Hachinam Mistamer, Di Saka Daitach Midoraita, Am I Ptur Nasot Pesach Sheni? How could you say that she's part of Nasot Pesach Sheni? So a defense of this is the Olam Emelachatuma Da'oraita Tahom De Ziva Hitiru. A little bit of an introduction here. You could argue that Tuma L'Mafreya is Da'oraita. We're not going to take that position, but you could still argue that Tuma L'Mafreya is Da'oraita. In other words, when you have one Re'iyah, and then you have a later Re'iyah that connects the two, because these two Re'iyah, or let's say a Zav, who had two Re'iyot, and now he's on his seventh day of Shiva Nikim, of the Nikim, and now he has a third Re'iyah, that it all hooks back together and creates Tuma L'Mafreya, that might be Da'oraita. However, there is a notion of Tumat Tahom. Now, Tumat Tahom is generally only applicable to Tumat Meit. Literally, Tumat Tahom is Tuma of the Deep, meaning a person walked somewhere and they came to the Mikdash, they brought a korban, and then we find out that the place that they walked, and they unbeknownst to them, very deep down, there was some sort of a kever, and for some reason, they had become Tame. That's called Tumat Tahom. And in many cases, we are makil on that because it's Tuma that at the time the person had no idea about. And so therefore, it's possible that when it comes to home de Ziva, even Tumat Tahom of Ziva, which is the same thing, because after all, this woman didn't know she was going to have another Re'iyah, and at the time she thought that she was Tahara, and the same thing with the Zav. And therefore, in a case like that, they might be Matir and say, all right, we brought the Korban Pesach for you, your Yotze Korban Pesach, even though really, L'Mafreya, there is Tuma, which is Da'oraita. Bottom line of this entire discussion is as follows. Rav made a statement which is becoming more and more difficult to defend. His statement was that Yom Shivim Ola Lekan Ulekan, which means that if you do a Nezirut for 70 days, and then on the 70th day the son is born, that the hour or so of the 70th day that you were Nazir from the original Nezirut counts as a full 70th day, and then you already start for the son, and that's already full day number one for the son, which means, in fact, you end up doing less than 130 days, all told, in this combination. We challenged that and demonstrated that Rav's position cannot hold within our Mishnah. The question is, who is Rav basing his opinion on? So we tried Abba Shaul, and we saw that Abba Shaul does have the same approach, but only in the area of Avilut, and Avilut is Drabonon. So he said, perhaps Rav is depending on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who expressed as what seems to be a similar opinion about a Da'oraita, which is a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, who was keeping her day of Tahara on the 14th of Nisan, and while she was still Tahara, they brought the Korban Pesach on her behalf, and afterwards she saw Dam. Rabbi Yossi's ruling is that she is Yotze Pesach, and not Chayiv in Pesach Sheni, and we think the reason is because he holds Mikzat Hayom Kechulo, and therefore the partial day that she kept the Shimur is considered a full Shimur, and therefore she's Yotze. We then said, perhaps that's not the case, because after all, Rabbi Yossi says that in such a case, when she has another Re'iyah, the Tuma is the Mafreya, it goes backwards. And it retroactively kicks in from the last Re'iyah it connects to the last Re'iyah. So he said, no, that Mafreya must be Durabanan, because otherwise, she'd be Chayev in Pesach Sheni. And we said, no, it's possible that we say she's Pater from Pesach Sheni because it's what we call Tahom de Ziva. It's unknowable Tum'a that she could not have been aware of because it didn't come out yet. Nonetheless, it may be that Tum'a L'Mafreya really is Da'oraita. In any case, Rav's position still seems to be a little bit difficult to substantiate because we can't rely on Abba Shaul. It's not at all clear that we can rely on Rabbi Yossi, and certainly our Mishnah does not comport with that. However, we have the opinion of Rabbi Oshaya, the student of Rabbi, who interpreted Rabbi Yossi the way that we wanted to. V'af Rabbi Oshaya savar l'mafreya midrabanan. He holds that Rabbi Yossi held that the Tuma l'mafreya is drabanan. And by the way, if Tuma l'mafreya is drabanan, that means that really Mikzat Hayom is Kechulo, and that means that Rav really is depending on Rabbi Yossi. Good, the Tanya. Rabbi Shai Omer. We had a machlok between Rabbi Shai and Rabbi Yochanan. Aval haro ezav bashvin shelo. Soter et shelofanav. Rabbi Shai said that if ezav saw Ziva, on the seventh day, of Nikim, soter et shelofanav. It cancels out the entire period. He's got to have another Shiva Nakim. Rabbi Yochanan said, Loni Stor El Yomo. It should only cancel out that one day. And then we said, Manav Shachad, one way or the other, Isatar, if seeing on the seventh day, which means that you don't accept Mikzat Yom Kechulo, is meaningful, l'chulu satar, it should cancel all of them. Ilo satar, if it doesn't cancel out, because you hold miktzat hayom kechulo, and since he had a little bit of the seventh day naki, therefore he's completed that period, and now we just have a new period, but he's otherwise tahor from this, and we now have a new single re'il, which doesn't connect with anything. So, lo nistor v'lo yomo, it shouldn't cancel anything. How can Rabbi Yochanan say it cancels only that day? Either it cancels the whole thing or it cancels nothing. Ela'ema lo nistor v'lo yomo. Rabbi Yochanan said, really what Rabbi Yochanan said was it shouldn't cancel anything. So in other words, Ezav saw, let's say, two re'iyot. He now kept Shiva Nakim. And on the seventh day, in the middle of the day, he saw another re'iyah. Rabbi Shai says it cancels everything. Because miktzat yom kechulo, I don't accept. And he needs 7 full days of not seeing any ziva, and he didn't have it. Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't cancel anything. And evidently, Rabbi Yishai says to Marmale, Rabbi Yossi kai kavatech, damar mikan olahaba metame, that Rabbi Yishai said to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yossi holds like you. Your opinion sits well with Rabbi Yossi, who said that in such a situation, the tumah is only from here on onwards. Why? Because he holds that miktzat hayom kechulo. I, Rabbi Yossi, the Mafrei Yehuda Amar. I, Rabbi Yossi, said that there is retroactive tumah. My Mafrei midrabanan. So Mafrei must be a tumah derabanan, because midoraita, Rabbi Yossi certainly wouldn't say that Mafrei. And we see that Rabbi Yishaya is committed to that position in understanding Rabbi Yossi, because he says to Rabbi Yochanan, even though I disagree with you, you do have Rabbi Yossi to rely on. Now, a parenthetic question is about Rabbi Yossi himself. Now that we've established that he really holds miktzat hayom kechulo when it comes to ziva, how do you ever have a zava gedola according to Rabbi Yossi? Think about it. Remember, every time that a woman sees during the 11 days of ziva, if she has one re'i of dam, she is she has a shemet yom keneged yom. And that means she has to keep the next day. But according to Rabbi Yossi, the minute she's kept 5 minutes of the next day, she's done. When she sees another Riyah the next day, that's a new independent Riyah. So she has to keep the next day. But there's no point at which she could have 3 days in a row, because every day, 1 minute of the next day of not seeing is already a complete Shimur. So the question is, how could you ever have a regular Zava Gedola? Nobody's going to suggest that Rabbi Yossi holds there is no such thing. Obviously there is, and the Torah mandates it in Parsha Metzora. So we said as follows. Think about this. Even on one day itself, if she sees in the morning, the afternoon is now the Shimur. So we have two possibilities. If she has a constant flow of dam for 3 days, or you don't need that. If she saw every day for 3 days in a row, just before sunset, in through sunset. Why? Because then there is no point in the day that counts as Shimur. And therefore, the next day, she doesn't have the Sidam until the end of the day. Now that's two Re'iyot. The third one that she already comes is the Vagdola. Shakoach to all the Lomdim for our successful study of the second parak of Nazir. We will begin our study of the third parak in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.